Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Josh Ritter is coming back to the Capital Region on Thursday, September 26th. He'll perform an acoustic show at the Choice Savings Bank Music Hall, and he joins us now. Ritter's most recent album, The Beast in Its Tracks, was released in early March. In the songs on the album, the listener absorbs some heartbreak, thankfully followed by some happiness and hope.
Supposedly it was a wise, wise man who said it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Never to have loved. How many times is the truth that you take to be true just truth falling apart at the same speed as you, till it all comes away at a million degrees and you're just a few pieces of fallen debris? And she's hopeful, hopeful for me. Coming out of the dark clouds.
The last time we spoke, your latest record, The Beast in Its Tracks, was about to come out, and now, of course, it's been out for several months. How has the reception been from where you're standing?
It's been, tremendous, but also mostly, I think, my abiding feeling about it. It was so surprising that people responded. I mean, I think I naturally will always assume the worst, but I also felt like this is a record that I worked on and wrote, and you know, I was very conscious to try and keep it as close to the actual experience of this time in my life. If I was going to really write an autobiography, I should really hew as close to the bone as possible. And with that being said, I wasn't sure whether people would really be all that interested, and maybe like, it might be a nice segue into something else, but that the album itself wouldn't really, you know, make any waves. And it was so gratifying and strange that it did, you know? Mm-hmm. It was really strange, you know? I'm excited by that, and also a little psyched out, because I realize I really don't know what makes a record anymore. Like, you know, I have no idea.
Well, I think, and I know you're very humble and mightn't want me to say this, but I think you have incredibly enthusiastic fans who are with you now.
I think that the reward, if anybody that does what they like to do, you have to continually change it and move and alter things to stay excited and to stay challenged with the work. I really feel that with songs and with a career in music, that what you try to build over time is an amount of artistic capital with the people that listen to you and buy records and come to shows, so that they, you know, that when you take a left turn or you go somewhere that's unexpected, but that's hopefully appreciated for being in good faith, that was a hard won move. You know, I think that, you know, moving forward is always difficult, you know, mm-hmm. to try and see your path in front of you. And it's nice to know that people are trusting of the effort, you know. I really feel thankful for the people that listen.
When you imagine that the record might be a segue to something else, could you conceive of what the next thing might be? Because you're in it now, whatever the next thing is. Is what is happening now different from anything you could have imagined when you were going through producing, writing, and recording that record?
What it has ended up feeling like to me is I started out, you know, with like records that were fairly small, and the songs were sparsely recorded, and you know, you start out hopefully in this way that's honest and it's not like a huge production, you know, like, so you can kind of build over time your kind of studio knowledge and your artistic vision with the music. And I think that what happened with Beast in Its Tracks was that I ended up going back to that, those early days of when I was first starting out, not because I really wanted to or thought I did, but because I just the wind just got knocked out of me. It was just gone. The energy to try and add and to create some sort of sprawling sort of things, and those things which are really fun, which I've always loved, I just didn't have it in me. So now I see that moment with Beast in Its Tracks being like both like a realization that like songs are still just songs. You know, they're still just like 3 minutes, you know, and not only that, but there doesn't have to be a lot of stuff there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very slender thing which you can hang a song on, and so I feel really good now. I feel this whatever happens next, whatever I'm working on next, will come with that knowledge kind of really, really fresh in my mind. And I think that, you know, I'm already, you know, I've got lots of ideas. I'm writing a lot of them. But it all comes from that kind of idea. So I think it's a sort of almost like a reboot.
Mm-hmm. You're writing a lot now. Are you writing songs and working on your next book, or mostly songs right now?
I'm mostly on just songs. I'm reading a lot. I'm interested in a bunch of like kind of random things and just reading and listening to a ton of music, and you know, that's all just and then the songs. I kind of right now, like, you know, we just moved to an old house, and it has lots of little things that need work. So I put on my oldest clothes, and I go out and I patch something or do something like that, and then you know if you're lucky, you have like 15 minutes, and you kind of sit down, and hopefully there's like a little tiny idea that comes out, and you know, it's sort of collecting all those ideas right now. It's a really good time.
The show you're playing at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall is an acoustic show, and it looks like most of the shows, or maybe all the shows you're playing for the rest of this year, are acoustic. In your trajectory, how is that decided, that it'll be just you this time without the band?
I'll have a couple guys with me. I'll have Zach Hickman, my longtime kind of compatriot, and then
right.
Josh Kaufman, who recorded lots of stuff on the Beast in His track. So I'll have those guys with me in any kind of number of ways. But what is so important about playing solo is that it, and why I'm so thankful that I started playing solo, is that there's a connection to the performance and to the audience, which is so different than a rock show. You know, you get sharper, and you get, you know, I definitely think that to play a rock show effectively, you have to be able to play some stuff solo. You have to be able to connect on a more basic level. It's so easy to fall back into the drums and into the volume and onto the other musicians, but really the focus is on the audience, and playing solo over the course of 2 hours is a great way to remind yourself of that, and also to get better, to just get sharper.
This tour is bringing you to Troy, as I just mentioned, and then you're going to Europe and the UK. In December, you're playing around Ireland. Is your audience different wherever you go, or is there a sort of global Josh Ritter fan type that you've observed?
I think that, like, what I notice is that when you're really playing well and you have playing with real enthusiasm and confidence and it's being received that way, that any show anywhere in the world feels almost the same. And even the size of the show doesn't really matter, you know? Whether it's a really tiny place, you know, I think the last place we played in Canada was a little place called the Black Sheep Inn in Wakefield, Ontario, which is on the Quebec border, and you know, I think there was maybe 40 people there. You know,
wow.
These are like smaller shows, and those were that, you know, it can still feel like you're playing to 1,000 people. It's so strange, but it's really true.
Opening on this tour for you, or at least for part of it, you have Tift Merritt opening a little bit later. But in Troy, we get to see Mr. Sam Amadon, who is fantastic.
I love Sam. I love Sam's stuff from a while back,
mm-hmm.
when I had first moved to New York and heard him, and I just, he's like that rare kind of artist. I think he's just like his vision is really important. He brings like a certain type of music to people who haven't ever heard it before, and he brings it with such like he's not somebody who claims to have rediscovered. He's like the guy who like is glowing the brightest. I really think he's a phenomenal musician. I can't wait to hear him play more. It's selfish, like with Tiff too. You know, like to be able to be out on the road with Tiff is always like such a pleasure, and like. And to see her play every night is so great, and so the same with Sam. It's the chance to like really like sit down and watch it like an amazing show.
By my calculation, your daughter is about 10 months old now, approaching
yeah.
a year. Is she and her mom, your partner Haley, going to come on tour with you, or are they sticking around the new house?
They're going to be around. Yeah, we tour all together these days, so it's got. Which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's been another thing about this whole record that was so exciting and surprising. Beast in His Tracks was about this huge life change about a divorce, but the great things that came out of that time, you know, were getting to meet Haley and then Bea being born and then traveling, and you know, with my whole band and them. It was like I was in heaven. Yeah. So yeah, they'll be around for sure. B can't be stopped. She can't stop rocking.
Awesome. Josh, I can't wait to see you again. We'll be there at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. Thank you for
great there. I can't wait to see you. It'll be awesome.
All right.
Oh, thank you very much.
Josh Ritter will perform at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall in Troy, New York on Thursday, September 26th. Sam Amidon will open the show. To learn more, visit troymusichall.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.